Podcast.
The Savior.
The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.
And we've already established that the Prophet said that when you anger me, or when you anger Fatima, you anger me. So essentially, by taking that torch, it's like going to the Prophet's house.
Exactly.
You see upon him.
Exactly. I mean, and we said, mentioned the verses of the Quran, which, I mean, there is no compulsion in religion. I mean, just being the daughter of the Prophet alone, peace be upon him, and his progeny, if it was a righteous thing that Abu Bakr and Umar were upon, wouldn't the daughter of the Prophet, of the Holy Prophet, go and give allegiance, or her husband give allegiance on their own, let alone?
Absolutely, Kareem. That was the biggest shocker for me, because for me, I'm looking at this, you know, from, okay, I need to go back and revisit history and kind of see what happened and who the characters were and what happened, what were the events. And essentially, they missed out not only on the funeral of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, but they also missed the funeral of Bibi Fatima, peace be upon her, as well. So clearly, at every event you see that these guys missed the mark, it becomes more and more clear as you look at their actions. And like I said, you know, actions speak louder than words. So when we revisit history and we look at these events and we see how the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, were treated, it becomes very clear. And that's all really, you know, the Sunnis need to do, is to revisit the history and really, you know, not be biased about it. Just forget what you what you've heard, and actually look at the facts that are present. And when you do that, you will connect with the material, and the things will become clearer to you. Unfortunately, the problem is we cannot get them to read. You know, we can't get them to revisit it because they've got it all figured out already. You know.
Yeah, I just want to say that there are, like, Sunnis who are truth seekers. We're not saying that all Sunnis, they're not truth seekers and they're just closed-minded. No, there are, like, open-minded ones over, like, out there. And they tend to want to know the truth, and they want to look into the truth of it all. And that's a good thing. It's good to be open-minded and to to not have that, you know, fanatical feel to, like, towards research. And it's good to actually research more and to look deep into it, to dig into the history and to find out the facts.
Yes,
facts
indeed,
matter. Facts matter. And anything wishful, anything that is not based on, like, authentic proof, something that is unauthentic, you can, you know, have the choice of not considering or taking it into consideration. Look for the authentic evidence. That's what I did.
Right.
I look for the authentic evidence in Sunnis traditions and in the Shias traditions. And, like, I found out that Fatima Zahra, yes, she was oppressed. I would look at all the traditions that regard to Fatima. Yeah, peace be upon her. She was oppressed. And there are traditions that, that from my from my point of view, I would... There are traditions that are not correct, there are unauthentic, and there are, like, traditions that are authentic. So, of course, there's the black and white, the things that are right and the things that are wrong. But we know, like, in terms of history already, that she was an oppressed woman. Now, saying that she died because of grief, or because of depression, because of crying so much, or she died a natural death, well, that I do not consider to be true, because all the details of surrounding Fatima's character after the Prophet's death, the events that followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the dispute she had with Abu Bakr, and the traditions that say that she was attacked, her house was burnt, and she died of a miscarriage. I mean, there are so many. There's a plethora, multiple traditions that converge into that. She's an oppressed woman, and that she was attacked. And after that attack, it led to her demise, her martyrdom. And so she returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a martyred lady, just like Hussein returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a martyred man, and Hassan, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, and all the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon, were all martyred.
Right.
So that's the sad part. And that's, you know, that
these are facts, and this is not like you know, made up. You know, I was having this conversation earlier today, Brother Muhammad, with some family members who were visiting. We were visiting due to an illness, and you know, the topic came up, and you know, that's what I was trying to get across to them, that at every time where you have you know, one of your leaders or one of your, you know, like Bukhari or even like Abu Hanifa or any of these guys, there's always been a member of the Ahlul Bayt that has been active and very vocal. And they were all oppressed and they were all imprisoned or either put into under house arrest or in actual prison. And they all died deaths of martyrs. So that alone, that fact alone should raise an eyebrow. As to, okay, we need to know who these people are. We need to actually learn about their lives and see, you know, how they lived. And when you look at, when you go down that road, it becomes easier and it becomes clear. The hardest thing for people to do is to let go, of their traditions and their culture and their heritage. And, you know, that's what we learn, from Imam Ahmad al-Hassan, peace be upon him, the importance of defeating the I, the Ana, the ego. And this sense of identity that we have, because it's all I, that's all. Everyone, and regardless of the sect they're in, they all, you know, they all think that they're going to heaven, and everyone else who doesn't believe what they believe is going to hell. And to make such a bold, statement with so much certitude that, oh, I'm going to heaven, that in itself is a loss.
Podcast. The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.